Welcome to this 19-part series of Business Podcasts by David Maister, exploring the key principles and practices found in his new book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker.
Hello, I'm David Maister. In this series of podcasts, I'm proud to present a special 19-part series of the audiobook version of my new book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker. If you're interested in purchasing a copy of the book in hardback, it is now available from both Amazon.com and at my website at davidmaister.com/store. Chapter 3. It's not how good you are, it's how much you want it. People often ask me about my career and what I have learned from it. There's a lot to say, but here's some of what happened and what it taught me. Like many people, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life when I left college. I took a job as a statistician because that's what my undergraduate degree had been in. I soon discovered that it was neither my passion nor my area of special talent. So, because I couldn't think of anything else to do, I went back to school for a master's degree, taking a teaching job to support myself. Bingo! I discovered, without having planned it this way, that while my studies were a chore, I loved teaching and happily did that for a number of years. I was still teaching statistics, which did take the edge off my excitement a little. I had no idea what opportunity was going to come next. I considered a lot of things and waited, eyes open. At one point, I even applied to be a radio producer at the BBC. I didn't get the job. Then the chance came to do a doctorate degree course at the Harvard Business School. I had been sent by my college employer as a delegate to a course Harvard Business School was running in Europe. I had never previously considered an academic career. This was a big step, and one I was not sure I could pull off. Teaching in a local community college is not the same as committing yourself to a career of producing original scholarly research, which is what PhDs are supposed to do. I had never been the top of my class in anything at any stage of my education. I still haven't been, but, well, it was worth a shot. The problem was that I had no money. So I could only make it work if I got a full scholarship. But which one should I apply for? There were generous scholarships available in a variety of specialties. Two factors affected my choice. The first was my respect for a faculty member who was both impressive and helpful. Thanks, Jim Heskett. The fact that his area also offered the largest scholarship may also have had something to do with things. That's how I ended up spending the next 6 years as a specialist in logistics and transportation. My doctoral dissertation was about grain transportation in Canada, and I ended up writing 3 books on the trucking industry and 1 on the airline industry. Given my focus today on professional businesses, people are always surprised to learn about that part of my history. Which is, of course, the point I'm trying to make. Did I know when I started whether transportation was going to be a fulfilling field for me? No, I didn't. Did I nevertheless give it my full commitment and try to make it work for me? Absolutely. And when it became clear that this wasn't my life's calling, did I vigorously hunt around for the next chance to move on? You bet. It came with the chance to return to Harvard Business School 3 years after graduation. This time as a faculty member, teaching management of service businesses and factory operations. Yes, that was also a stretch, but you have to keep trying things, right? Now, this was not as obvious a decision to make as it might now appear. I already had a good job in a good university with friendly colleagues. Giving all that up to join the Harvard Business School was equivalent to signing up for the Olympic team. Not only would I have to work much harder and achieve higher standards, but there's also a very real chance that I would not make it. Harvard Business School has an up or out policy with very high standards for its faculty. In spite of, or perhaps because of, the challenge, I took the new post. Eventually, at age 35, I started work on the topic that really turned out to be my passion, professional services. I was 35 years old. Had I not enjoyed the previous 14 years of my career since I'd obtained my undergraduate degree? Quite the contrary. It was by turns frightening and fulfilling, but it was always exciting. One more personal story before we search for the general lessons. I always wanted to be a published author. I remember that even in my college days, I thought how cool or neat it would be to have someone who doesn't know you read about your ideas and know your name. There was only one problem. The act of writing has always terrified me. Whenever I have some writing to do, I get agitated, I sweat, and I avoid the task like the plague. In spite of this, my consulting career was launched and is still sustained on writing. Now, in my academic career, I had written a lot of books and articles, but I must confess it was always a case of publish or perish. I did it because that's what academics are expected to do. However, I kept discovering that the topics didn't really excite me. Things began to change when I left academia to start my solo consulting business. I promised a magazine editor that I would write an article every month, knowing full well that I was committing myself to a lot of hard work and something that I would not necessarily enjoy, but which would get me to where I wanted to go. Having no choice, I lived up to my commitment and was soon being referred to as the guy who keeps producing all those articles. They weren't all good, and few people liked all of them, but the key was that I got my audience used to the idea that there would be a new set of thoughts from me on a regular basis. The phone started to ring, and my consulting business took off. Find your passion is a common piece of career advice, but less frequently pointed out is how difficult this can be. You really need to work hard to find out what you can be passionate about. Unless you're very lucky, you may find that, like me, it takes many years to discover what really turns you on long term. Successful people often appear to have had a rational career progression, with each step a seemingly sensible preparation for the next. The truth, however, is that most successful business careers have been based on experimentation and opportunism. This is where business careers differ from careers in sports or the arts. In those fields, you usually have to pick an event or an instrument and dedicate yourself early to an almost exclusive focus on that choice. Business careers are not like that. Did Richard Branson of Virgin know that he was going to found an airline or a telephone company when he started selling records? Did Bill Gates ever know what products Microsoft was going to offer in a few years' time? To succeed, you must be prepared to keep searching until you find out what truly excites you, even though there will be temptations along the way for you to give up your search. After all, what you're doing at any given moment is almost by definition the result of a previous guess of yours as to what you thought would be fulfilling. So it's unlikely to be disastrous. It's probably okay right now. This is where the world divides into two groups of people. One group will stroll down the path labeled, "It's okay, so why change?" While another group will run down the path marked, "It's only okay, let's find something better." My trainer once pointed out that to get the benefits of exercise, you must use force, not momentum. You don't develop a muscle by letting momentum move the equipment. It's the amount of force you apply that develops you. The business equivalent is obvious. Career momentum can do a lot of the work for you and indeed carry you a long way. However, it is only when you add force to this that you create enhanced capability and extra achievement. Actually, the conclusion is probably even stronger than that. Since even the most thrilling things do become familiar after a while, passion and engagement will almost inevitably decline. And there will also therefore be a lifelong need to seek out new challenges to keep it thrilling. However, given the power of momentum, only those determined to get somewhere will actually do what that takes. If you truly want to succeed, and many people do not want it badly enough to make it happen, then you must never settle, never give up, never coast, never just accept what is, even if you are currently performing at a high level. If what you have now isn't what you dreamed of, then you must keep looking, experimenting, and adapting. You must always search for the next thing that you think you can feel passionate about so that you'll have the burning reason to show the discipline and drive that will distinguish you. Once you've found something to try, you must throw yourself into it and work at it with as much commitment as you can muster until you can answer three questions. Number one, is it in fact as exciting as I thought it was going to be? Number two, is there a market for this? Will anyone pay me to do it? And number three, can I make a contribution that others are not yet making? Can I be something other than a Me Too player? All three of these must be present to succeed. If any component is missing, you must move on. Living your professional life this way is not easy. Each step in my career often seems to other people like a terrific achievement. I gave up a statistics job to go get a master's degree. I signed up for a doctorate. I joined the Harvard faculty, and then I left it to go become a solo consultant. The truth, however, is that for me, as for most people, each successive step was a terrifying leap into the unknown, requiring me to abandon the security of what I had without any certainty or even probability that it was going to work. Sheer determination is the only explanation I can offer as to why I took these career risks. Looking back, I'm amazed at the chances I took, and I'm grateful that they worked out, because they all worked out only with setbacks along the way. I often feel that my career has been one of stumbling upwards. There are no guarantees in life, and determination is only an essential ingredient, not a sufficient one. Many people try, and some of them do fail. But a lot more never try, and they cannot win. The key lesson is that, for me and for others, lifelong drive and determination, the burning passion to get somewhere next, are the key ingredients in career success. The point is worth stressing. In a free market economy, what is rewarded is not inherent value, but scarcity, the relative supply and demand. If many other people have what you have, then you cannot earn a premium or distinguish yourself just because you have it. Intelligence, IQ, brains, and smarts are all important, but they are also more common than drive and determination. The latter will be more highly rewarded and also more determinative of your future success. And here's the key. You can't sustain lifelong drive and determination unless you're passionate about accomplishing something. Discipline for discipline's sake won't work. These things also apply in most other walks of life. World-class athletes and artistic performers push themselves to the limit with repeated practice, training, and rehearsal. No matter how much natural talent they bring to the game, it is their determination to do what it takes to get there that makes these people distinctive. It is the most talented performers who actually practice the most. It's the willingness to keep trying, always committing yourself to getting better whenever you've just stumbled. And that's hard. What may be more critical, however, is that successful people keep stretching when they're already doing well. And you know, that may be even harder. Whether we're in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s or beyond, the question that we must all address is, are we still trying to get somewhere? Do we have new worlds to conquer? And do we know what they are? Have we chosen? It's always worth examining this because, as Napoleon said, glory may be fleeting, but obscurity is forever. If people sometimes lose sight of the need for energy and force because their momentum is carrying them, they also lose drive and energy when they have to deal with setbacks. Things that didn't really go so well. A missed promotion. Ungrateful superiors, colleagues, or clients who didn't acknowledge a contribution. We all have these setbacks. Sometimes they're our fault, sometimes they're not. The question, however, always becomes, what are you going to do now? Withdraw or renew your efforts? It's tempting and completely understandable to conclude, I've been trying, but the struggle is too frustrating. Why bother? Look what happens every time I try to change things. It's also tempting, on the other hand, to beat yourself up. We've all lain awake at night thinking about mistakes we've made, things we could have done or said differently. Rather than dwell on any accomplishments they might have attained, many people do dwell on their missed opportunities and failures. But all of this is quite useless. Literally, nothing productive can come from it. While we must not veer to the opposite extreme of always blaming external forces and other people for what happened to us, there is no point getting stuck in a doom loop of self-criticism. You're going to live with yourself for a long time. It's your own good opinion of yourself that matters more than anyone else's. Be kind to yourself. There are plenty of people out there prepared to judge you. Why do it for them? The good news is that it's amazing how many times you can mess up in life and still succeed. My career proves that. And as Winston Churchill reportedly said, success is the ability to move from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. Another example, George Washington barely won a battle in the early years of the Revolutionary War. His greatest triumph was to prevail by not losing and inspiring others not to give up, despite terrible feats and narrow escapes. Just staying in the game led to victory. The key skill in life is not never make a mistake. That's impossible. Rather, the key skill is rebounding from and fixing your mistakes. Although it doesn't always feel like it, you have a choice in how you react to things. You can let them get to you, or you can brush them off with, okay, I blew it, time to move on. A final autobiographical note. In my mid-50s, after having written a book per year for 3 years in a row, I suddenly found myself without any energy. The lethargy lasted for more than 2 years, and I've never been so miserable in my entire life. It turned out that I had sleep apnea, a medical condition that meant I hadn't had a good night's sleep in 2 years or more. There was, I understood only in retrospect, a reason that I had been physically and mentally exhausted. With treatment, my energy bounced back, and I'm writing again. Great things are happening in my career, and I'm having a ball. As the Anthony Newley Leslie Bricker song goes, I'm going to build a mountain. I'm going to build it high. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I only know I'm going to try it. This concludes this chapter of my book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker. If you're interested in ordering a copy of the book in its printed form, visit Amazon.com or my website at davidmaester.com/store.